Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, it is 7:20. Buck continuing the trend of our best rotator music and rejoin music on the station. Way to go. Have you seen the Netflix doc, That Little Band from Texas?
I haven't, but I'm already intrigued.
It is about ZZ Top, and it's them just basically telling the story of the band. Pretty kick-ass, man. They're as advertised, man. They're awesome.
I don't know if this is a hot take. It's definitely not a sports hill, but I think I appreciate musical documentaries more than I do sports ones. And that from the standpoint of I've never been musical myself.
Yeah.
I've definitely never been around like that kind of that performing musical scene, like backstage at concerts and stuff. We've been in locker rooms, in arenas, backstage places, and had access to sports coaches, athletes, yep, and games that other people haven't. And so that's a lifestyle that I'm a little bit more familiar with, whereas the kind of band thing always blows my mind. The scale and the way it all works and comes together. And whether that was, just a month ago, I finished watching that Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine documentary series, Defiant Ones, on HBO. That was incredible. And mostly because I'm not connected to that music world the same way we are connected to the sports world.
So, very good point. I mean, that's a great point because, and then there's also like, you get starstruck talking to a musician because it's like, you do feel like Chris Farley's show is esque, because it's like, with sports people, you have that connection. And I'm not musically inclined either. Like, I quit playing the piano at To Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Yeah, I played saxophone for 1 year in third grade and never picked up an instrument again.
I mean, I nailed Hot Cross Buns on the recorder.
I think we all did.
But, I mean, it was pretty awesome.
Did you hammer out Chopsticks pretty well, too?
On the piano?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. In tandem with my sister, on both
like
ends.
Like big?
Basically, yeah.
Robert Loggia and Tom Hanks?
Nailed it. It was awesome, but I'm not a musically inclined person, so there is a little bit of that.
We both like music. We're just not good at it.
Yeah, I like to think I'm Blues Traveler with a harmonica, but I'm not. It sounds like a walrus dying when I play it, so it's all right. I did impress my six-year-old daughter, though, but she was like, I really want a harmonica. Okay. She got a harmonica, and she thinks I'm great. Because she's that bad at it. So yeah. Where do you get harmonica lessons?
Yeah, she probably only knows how to propel air through it one way. And you're like just, I don't know, doing the hand motions, pretending like you know what you're doing.
That's right.
Yeah.
all right, sports, let's do it. Ohio State is rolling out a plan that is kind of, we've mentioned Rob Mullins and Scott Barnes, the athletic directors at Oregon and Oregon State respectively, have said that they're modeling so many variations of what a stadium will look like this year. And Gene Smith at Ohio State said that for their stadium, Ohio Stadium, which seats 102,000 people, they are modeling everything from 20,000 fans to 50,000 fans. That would be half full to about one fifth full, right?
And that was based on him saying, depending what the guidelines are, that like under current guidelines, you're probably looking at 20 to 22,000 people. If the guidelines get relaxed, could be closer to 40 to 50,000.
Now, here's the thing. Here's a question that I have to ask. And I think this does impact how many people get into a stadium. When you buy tickets, or if you are a season ticket holder, okay, are these schools going to send out questionnaires that ask you, if you say have four tickets for Oregon Ducks football, are you going to get a questionnaire that says, have you been sheltering in place or quarantining with your allotment of tickets?
Well, and then
because then you could sit four side by side by side and you're okay with that. Is that a box you're going to have to check when buying tickets now?
So here's the thing is, I think maybe eventually, I don't know that we're going to have the infrastructure in place for that right away. Because also, I don't think we're going to take people at their word. I wish that we would, but simply checking a box, I don't think is going to work, because there are going to be people that say, well, no, I haven't, but I really want to go to the game. So I'm just going to say that I did.
So then you would have to have...
I think if you're going to put people next to each other, you're going to need them to provide either double negative tests or an antibody test. You're seeing some like hotels doing internationally to come stay there. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's happening this season. I think that could be happening.
That'd be so many tests.
Right. And I just don't know how you'd be able to administer that in that amount of time. So I think what we're going to see this season is true social distancing for people that are in stadiums. So that'd be not side by side.
I think it would be two seats in between and every other row.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of staggered. Mm-hmm.
I think that is what it would be. So yeah, and staggered. So you know, it'd be seats 1 and 3 in row A.
I mean, it makes a ton of sense.
But row C would be seats 2 and 4.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it makes a ton of sense to think that if you were able to get confirmation that people had either been quarantining or had already had the virus, that you could put more people in there. But I don't know that you're going to be able to get that up and running in the next couple of months.
And so if you look at those numbers that they're modeling at Ohio State and you take that into account, what would Autzen Stadium look like or what would Reser Stadium look like? You're looking at 10,000 people getting into Autzen, and then you're looking at what? 8,000 people at Reser Stadium, 8,500 at Reser Stadium, maybe, just based on the capacities of those stadiums. And that would be on the low end. If you're looking at like a fifth of the stadium is what you would be looking at for on the one extreme end. And then the other end would be upwards of what, 20,000 people at Autzen, 20 to 25,000 people at Autzen. And then what,
like 16,
yeah,
at Reese or something like that,
yeah, somewhere around there, 16 to maybe 20,000 at Reese if you're on the very high end of it. And that would be a weird thing. And one thing Gene Smith said is, you know, we talked about this, I said I don't want to be the person that makes a decision on who gets in and who doesn't. And he said they're going to go on the point system by season ticket holders, but then they have to take into consideration families of players, staff members, staff and faculty of the university. Students are going to be factored into this as well. And how do you what allotment do students get into the games, or in faculty and family members of players? Like, that is a very tough thing that these universities, it's not just as easy as a point system, because of the fact that there are requirements that each school individually has, whether it's with their student body or with their faculty, and written into contracts of how the allotment of tickets goes. And good luck telling a parent you don't get to see your kid play.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of good luck telling X person that they don't get to Y. You know, I mean, like, there's going to be a lot of that going on. But I think that the parental connection specifically, hey, I sent my kid back here to play, I'm going to watch him play. Well, we'll see.
What does this do to the secondary market? StubHub, you know, SeatGeek.
Well, and honestly,
these places where season ticket holders who can't go to a game for whatever reason, or just there's a lot of season ticket holders that just sell the tickets anyways. Are these tickets going to be going for 150, 200 bucks a pop?
I mean, especially if...
Or is it even going to be a possibility?
Because I imagine what you will get is some sort of questionnaire sent to you by the university saying, do you still want to attend this season with your... And mm-hmm. if so, do you want to attend all the games? And do you want all your seats? And then based on what the demand is, I think there'll be some sort of priority system of like, okay, you can get, you know, let's say you get 6 games and 4 tickets per game for a total of 24 tickets a season. They may say, well, we can't give you that this season, but we can give you 8 tickets total. Do you want them over 2 games? Do you want them over 4 games? I don't know how you prioritize the games, how you prioritize who gets which seats, because you're obviously not going to get the exact same ones. It is going to be a massive headache for someone. I'm glad I'm not the one figuring it out.
Yeah. I don't know how.
But it's a good problem to have. Trying to figure out how to get bodies there is a good problem to have.
And what do you do? Like, you know, Tyler, P1 Tyler says, these rules go out the window when Oregon goes up by 10 against Ohio State. Fans are going to be high-fiving and hugging.
That's another thing.
How do you enforce that?
Kind of suppressing the natural excitement of a game between strangers is going to be difficult.
And
there's going to be an element of, you know, you attend this game at your own risk.
Yeah. You know, this text says, imagine how much better the bathroom lines are going to be at these games.
Amen.
Or is it going to be worse?
Oh.
Or just the same? Because you can only allow so many people into the bathroom at once.
True.
Something to think about there. Because you can't, like, if there's a rush, you gotta have you're gonna have to have your 6 feet in the line. It'll probably be exactly the same.
The lines will just be longer around the stadium because everyone will have to be standing 6 feet apart line.
That's right. All right. That's one model that Ohio State is looking at, and they're given numbers as what it could be, not just we're modeling everything out there. And Jim Harbaugh, a Michigan head coach, he said he's cool with no fans. He's all right with it. He's like, hey, if that means football over no football, everybody he's talked to has said, I want football, whatever that looks like. I don't care. So I think that's the other option too. And that's the one that, boy, if you are a university, you want those fans in the doors, because that is so much a part of revenue for college football. And I saw that there's a study today. They're finally putting that figure to it. If there is no college football, $4 billion. And that backs up like a rough estimate study that was done. Actual study says $4 billion would be lost in college football this season, would be crippling. And I read an article, SI had it up, about minor league baseball. Dude, minor league baseball relies completely on their gate.
Oh, yeah. They're in trouble.
It was a pretty dark, up to 70% of GMs that they... or in executives that they polled said that they feel that teams within their league would not survive. 70% said teams just wouldn't survive. And they weren't talking about themselves, but teams, their rivals and teams in their leagues, if there isn't a gate. And that is a financial crunch that, boy, you feel for those teams, those communities, and it's going to get ugly in minor league baseball and could get ugly in college sports as well. But it is trending in the direction of, hey, college football looks like it's coming back. We're just going to have to see what it looks like in what form or fashion. 55305 is a fan text. I still want to get your sports hot take hills that you're willing to die on. We've got is it the worst superpower of all time coming up in Off the Rails? But next, the match, Champions for Charity. It'll have some fun twists this weekend with Phil, Tiger, Brady, and Manning. We'll fill you in on what they're going to be doing down in Florida next. Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.